Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Buccaneers, Patriots, 2 days. Will Bill Belichick forever regret saying goodbye, farewell, so long, and good luck to Tom Brady? I made that dramatic. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys have won two straight, but should they be on upset alert Sunday against the undefeated Panthers? And are Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in serious, Nick, serious danger of losing the third straight on Sunday? And with that, we say good Friday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Chris Broussard, Kevin Wilds. Nick, you're going to be in Philly for that game against the Eagles on Sunday.
I am.
But Broussard, are you buying, I know what I was going to say. I forgot. This doesn't happen at the top of the show, but if you know me, you know that I forgot sometimes what I was going to say. Nick's going to be in Philly. We got Wilds, who's going to be up at Foxborough for the Patriots. Me and you, Broussard, come hang out. I got two little kids. It's going to be a blast. They'll never bother me during games. Come on, Broussard. That was a train wreck.
Sounds great.
We're off to a rousing start this Friday morning.
Can we start over?
Okay.
Is this live?
Okay.
Take it back from the top. Show over?
Okay.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. Let's kick things off talking Pat's Bucks. Let's only talk Pat's Bucks. The 20-year run in New England for Brady and Belichick. I'd say it went well. Six championships, nine trips to the Super Bowl, 308 Subway commercials. Keep in mind, it's not just Belichick Brady gets set to face Sunday night. It's Josh McDaniels. It's Robert Kraft. It's everyone inside that organization. Brady was asked how he'll manage his emotions come Sunday. Hear what he had to say.
I'm just going to try to do what I always do, go be a great quarterback. Obviously, understand the opponent, and I know all those guys. They're some of my great friends. They will be for the rest of my life. So I know a lot of coaches, players, the owners, the staff. It'll be great to see everyone after the game. But up until game, I'm focused on trying to go win a football game.
Oh, someone's got a little bit of a cold. All right, Kevin Wilds, what are the chances that Bill Belichick and the Patriots can upset Tom Brady and the Bucks?
Okay, I rarely do this, Jenna. I'm going to speak right to the heart of America right now. It's your old buddy, Kevin Wilds. Does your old buddy, Kevin Wilds, out here, you've seen me on this show for 2 years. Am I out here making picks left and right? Kevin's blazing five, this guarantee, that guarantee. I never do it. I never do it. Last week, I told you, hey, be on the lookout for Chargers Chiefs. Oh, I was called a doofus by someone on the show. Turns out I was right. I'm making this prediction, and I'm guaranteeing it. The Patriots will beat the Bucks. Mark it down. Take it to Fox Bet. If you want to bet your child's college education or get a reverse mortgage and put it all on it, I would recommend it.
Don't do that.
Here's three reasons why. Reason number one, sentimental. This is the most sentimental game in the history of the NFL. And Tom Brady is going to put the L in sentimental. We know he's going to be, is the crowd going to be cheering? Are we going to be booing? Are we going to be weeping? We have no idea. There's never been a game like this. We do know that when Peyton went back to Indy, he said it was a long week. He was glad it was over. He hated it. He lost. When Emmett Smith went back to Dallas, he literally was sobbing in the visitors' locker room. So do I think this week has taken an emotional toll on Brady that perhaps is leading to him having a cold because it's such a weight of emotion? Yes, I do. Reason number two, the Patriots passing defense. Oh, Wilds, we're just making fun of the Patriots and all their free agents. Are you sure? Because when you look at the numbers of how well this defense is doing, oh my goodness gracious. Fourth, second, the best, second. Like, and you're going to say, well, Wilds, they played Zach Wilson. Yeah, you know what? They also played Chris Broussard's MVP. So pay attention. Reason number three, Mac attack. Mac Jones is going to play well. And it's not just because I subscribe to the four games theory. Why do I subscribe to it? First of all, I made it up. Who had a good game last night? Oh, Trevor Lawrence, his fourth game. Justin Herbert, he got his win in his fourth game. How about Joe Burrow? He got a win in his fourth game. This is Mac Jones' fourth game, and he's going up against this Bucs defense, who, guess what? They're not good. They just signed Richard Sherman, who hasn't been good since the Obama administration. So, Broussard, Nick, I rarely do this. I am guaranteeing a Patriots victory. So the answer to the question is, what are the chances? It is 100%. I'll go to Nick. 100%, Nick. You can put it on your stone cold.
You got to go to Broussard.
100%.
You got to go to Broussard.
Okay, go to Broussard.
I'm going to have a moment with you after. But Broussard, you go ahead first.
Okay.
Because I want to fully digest all of this.
Okay.
Wilds, I love you. But thank I got to say this.
He's all right.
You should have stayed in your lane. You laid it out at the beginning of your little spiel. You don't do this. We're still waiting on your Portland prediction. All right? You played that. You teased that for a year. Are your Portland Trailblazers. We still haven't heard that. You should have stayed in your lane. I get it. Last week, you got lucky with the Chargers beating the Chiefs. And it went to your head. And now you're on here guaranteed that a 1-2 Patriots team is going to beat Tom Brady. Let me give you a little something to think about. We know this about Tom Brady. He's been to 10 Super Bowls. He's won 7, which is more than any NFL franchise. So you really think the moment will be too big for Tom Brady?
I do.
The moment has never been too big for Tom Brady. He was a 6th-round pick that nobody thought could play. And he gets thrust into the starting lineup when his Pro Bowl predecessor, Drew Bledsoe, gets injured. And all he does is lead them to the Super Bowl. I mean, the moment is never too big for Tom Brady. Emmitt Smith, you left out that he was washed when he went back to Dallas. Tom Brady is far from washed. Peyton Manning, you left out, has not responded in big games all the time like Tom Brady has. So you can't compare those two. And then we know that Tampa Bay, since Tom Brady's there, he's never lost to a team with a losing record. They've lost plenty of games for a Super Bowl champion, but never once to a team with a losing record. That tells me he doesn't overlook weak teams, of which your New England Patriots are one. All right. Oh. And thirdly, they are coming off a bad loss to the Rams that you know they want to redeem themselves from and get off. Don't start a losing streak. So Wilds,
I heard
Mac
that Chiefs
Jones.
Ravens.
I like Mac Jones. He's not ready to exploit that defense. You know it and I know it. And Belichick's not about to put together some scheme that's going to fool Tom Brady. Without Tom Brady, Belichick wins less than half of his games for his career and his time in New England. So Brady will get the upper hand over the genius Bill Belichick. So I said it, Nick. 350-plus yards, Wilds, 4 touchdowns in a rout. Okay. For the Buccaneers, 2%.
Oh,
the 2% chance that your boys will be upset. And that 2% is entirely the, anything can happen. You never know. Yeah. Who knows what can happen. Maybe we won't even be here tomorrow.
Broussard.
That's
Broussard,
the 2%.
You're being mean.
Jeez, that took
Broussard,
a turn.
You're being mean. Hold on, Broussard, you're being mean, buddy. This is a very, very tough day leading into a very tough weekend for Kevin Wilds. And it's tough for a number of reasons. It actually started, you know how some people's weekends start on Thursday night? Wild's weekend from hell actually started on Thursday night. Because as he was watching that game last night, he won't admit it, but it's true. He realized that a cold sweat hit him. It was like, oh my God. Mac Jones, best case scenario, he's never even a top half of the AFC quarterback. So you have Mahomes, you have Herbert, you have Lamar, you have Baker, you have Josh Allen, you have Trevor Lawrence, you have Joe Burrow. That's 7. There's only 16 teams in the conference. Mac Jones' best case scenario for his career is he's like the eighth or ninth best quarterback in his own conference. After 20 years having the best quarterback, or second best, depending on how you ranked Peyton and Brady throughout their career. So that's first point. Second point is, as Wilds has been going through the rationale as to why the Patriots can win, all he could hang his hat on is good pass defense. Because that's the only part of this incredibly mediocre roster that's any good, is the back seven and the secondary. And then there's this, and Wilds, I've saved this all week for you. Oh, what if the Patriots also have bad coaching? And I know you're like, bad coaching.
What is wrong with you guys?
Well, here's the thing. So Nora Princiati wrote a really interesting article about the Patriots' brain drain, about all the assistants that leave and then bring people with them and what it's done to them. You might be like, well, show me tangible evidence of this. Well, Wilds, I have a play to show you. I mean, it's a pretty important play. It's the deciding touchdown from last week's game. It's scored by, you know, our favorite, you know, ultimate dual threat, Taysom Hill. You might say, Nick, that's not fair. It's a goal line play. What do you want us to do there? Here's what I'd like you to do, Wilds. Have 11 guys on the field. So that's 10 guys in the fourth quarter in a six-point game. That's coaching, buddy. So you've got a bad quarterback. You got a bad roster. Are you poorly coached? I don't know. It's a six-point game in the fourth quarter, and you got 10 guys on the line of scrimmage. That ain't great, Wilds. So I'm not sure what we want to do with the guarantee, but this is me to you, because we used to be friends, trying to give you an olive branch, and it's a little television intervention to just prepare yourself for what's going to be 3.5 hours of hell for you personally Sunday night.
Okay, well, my biggest takeaway from that, Jenna, is we win that game if we've got 11 people on the field. The only way you can beat us is if we got 10 guys. Well, if we have 11, looks like the Patriots beat the Saints. Looks like we're 2-1 after all when we put 11 guys out on the field. So let's go, Pats. See you on Monday.
Also, point of order, Jenna, Wilds did not pick the Chargers to beat the Chiefs. He didn't. He said it. Alert. He wouldn't go out on a limb. Point of order. For the record, go ahead.
Well, he's out on a limb right now, and that's where all the fruit is, Wilds. And we are going to continue to discuss this. Coming up at 8:15, we got Seth Wickersham, author of It's Better to Be Feared, the new book out detailing this 20-year run between the two. He'll join us, tell us even more about this relationship coming up in a little bit here. Looking forward to that. But we got to get to some basketball right now, because Joel Embiid is fed up with Ben Simmons finally letting the world know his true feelings. We'll share the big man's latest comments with you next. This is First Things First.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
I have a great answer for this.
Time now for Drawing a Blank. Sixers camp is officially underway, and Sixers drama is officially underway as well. Still no Ben Simmons. He hasn't reported. His co-star, Joel Embiid, getting a little fed up with the situation and a little fed up with Ben at this point. Take a listen.
Our teams have always been built around his needs. So it was kind of surprising to see, you know, what was said. And even going back to, the reason we signed out is, you know, we got rid of Jimmy, which I still think it was a mistake, just to make sure that, you know, he needed the ball in his hands. And, you know, that's the decision they made. Yeah, like I said, it is surprising, but I'm really focused on the guys that are here. The situation is weird, disappointing, borderline kind of disrespectful to all the guys that are out here.
So take a look at the potential fines that Simmons could be facing if he continues to not report. Simmons saw this post on IG and liked it. Weird, but okay. Broussard, Joel Embiid's latest comments on Ben Simmons are blank.
They are the boomerang effect, Jenna, the boomerang effect. And for those that might not know, it's, you know, you put out bad vibes and the bad vibes coming back and get you. And I think Joel Embiid just got fed up. Finally, he's tired of it. He's like, look, I've been saying all the right things publicly. I'm playing Mr. Nice Guy. I'm spouting the company line. We're trying to get Ben back and all that. All right, I apologize for what I said. I think he did. But he did all the right things. And then he's reading about how Ben Simmons doesn't want to play with him anymore. It's not just the franchise. It's you, Joel Embiid. I don't want to play with you, at least according to anonymous sources. And then he and his teammates are rebuffed by one Ben Simmons when they want to go out there to L.A., fly out there on their own personal time and make good with him, make nice, beg him to come back. And they're rebuffed. So finally, this has come around to hit Ben Simmons now, the boomerang effect. Because I tell you what, guys, I detect no lies from what Joel Embiid said. And it's got to be painful for the folks in Philadelphia, because can you imagine them with Jimmy Butler? They would be on the level of the Milwaukees, the Brooklyns, the Lakers. And it just, I like that Embiid said it. And I think if I'm Philadelphia, I don't know if that they'll do this, but I get fed up sometimes with what I think is foolishness. I wouldn't pay Ben Simmons a cent. And I say, go stay in LA, go to Australia, wherever you want to go. We'll call you when we got a trade. Wow, it might be a month. It might be a year. We'll call you when we got a trade. And that's the way you got to just get rid. Like, that's the way to stop the distraction. Because if you play along with still want him back, he might come. It's going to be a distraction until you trade him. Just cut ties.
Is the boomerang effect
send him away
amplified in Australia? Is that why we're sending him there? Sorry, never mind.
Possibly.
That's a stupid joke. My apologies. I couldn't resist.
I get it. All right.
So quick story, not about my life, but a friend's life, because my answer is marriage counseling. So a buddy of mine, he and his wife were on very rocky times. So they went to marriage counseling, and separately and together. And at one point, the marriage counselor said to my buddy, you can either be right or be happy, but not both. And now my buddy in this instance chose to be right and actually got divorced. So that was his choice. It is what it is. Here's why I mention it. Nothing Joel Embiid said is wrong, but saying it out loud is not going to make him happy. It's going to make his life harder. It's going to make trading Ben Simmons harder. It's going to make any chance the Sixers had at repairing the relationship harder. It's going to make the return they get for Ben potentially worse, because now the situation has reached an even worse level of DEFCON. And so, listen, Joel, you're not wrong. But sometimes you have to choose, do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? Joel chose to be right, and now I think he's going to be a little unhappy, Wilds.
That's interesting. My answer is a weird one. It is vegetarian restaurant reservations, and here's why. And first, I'll preface this by saying, I am an extreme sort of advocate for players. It's hard to get me to say I disagree with that. You wanna do away with the salary cap because it suppresses salaries? I'd be okay with it. You wanna put down an edict to say, you know what? Everyone's got a no trade clause. You should be in charge of where you go. I'd be okay with it. If you want to do away with the NBA draft and college guys have to match up like how they match up doctors with hospitals when you come out of med school, I would be okay with it. It is hard to be okay with Ben Simmons getting paid $33 million and not showing up at all because he played poorly. And the reason it's vegetarian restaurant reservations is this. Let's say we all went out to dinner. And Broussard was a vegetarian, so we pick a vegetarian restaurant. And then Broussard's like, yeah, by the way, guys, I'm not coming. I'm like, well, you know what? We did this whole thing for you. I don't want to be eating fennel. We did it for you. There was other things in place because of you. We got rid of Jimmy Butler because of you. So it's not just a player empowerment in a bubble. There's a domino effect that affects more than Ben Simmons. I think he still should show up. He has to show up. Also, he signed a contract. So I will go to a vegetarian restaurant. Yeah, I actually like fennel, but you know.
Just one quick note. Irm if you could please take a screenshot of the screen right now and send it to the Sports Emmys Commission. I don't know if this was a good segment, but no show in sports television history has ever had the words marriage counseling, boomerang, and vegetarian restaurant reservations on the screen at the same time while discussing an upcoming NBA season. We have broken new ground, America. I thought it was great. I hope the audience did too, but it certainly should get some award recognition somewhere, Jenna. The only place you're finding
among the many things we do well. Among the many, many things we do well. Hey, the Chiefs are taking on the Eagles Sunday in the city of brotherly love. Will Nick be the good luck charm to snap KC's two-game slide? To be discussed next. First things first. Time to run the no-huddle. We start in Dallas, where Dak and the Cowboys set to welcome Sam Darnold and the undefeated Panthers on Sunday. Hey, the buzz is building in Dallas after two straight wins, as Nick would tell you, despite their coaching. While Carolina has been flawless through 3 weeks, they'll be without Christian McCaffrey on Sunday. Hey, Kevin Wildes, who wins, Carolina or Dallas?
Can I tell you something? I believe in the Panthers more defense more than I believe in the Cowboys defense. The Cowboys defense is like kind of like a guy in my town where you're like, hey, what do you do? And they just keep talking. You're like, what? What do you do? Embezzle money, that sounds like? The Cowboys defense leads the league in takeaways. But I just don't buy takeaways, Broussard. It's just like, all right, one flopped off, I think, Leonard Fournette's hands. It's another one guy fell down. So, look, I think the takeaways are masking sort of like a mediocre defense, making the defense look better. I know Christian McCaffrey's out. I still think Panthers win.
Wow.
I'm going with the Cowboys, yeah. Wiles. I told you earlier this week they're the fourth best team in the NFC behind Tampa Bay, the Rams, and Green Bay, and they're going to show it on Sunday. The Panthers' defense is probably better than Dallas's. I'll give you that. But the rankings right now, I mean, they're atop the league. They're kind of like your Patriots' pass defense, all right? It's fugazi. What? It's not accurate because of the competition. Yeah, the Panthers look great. Their 3-0 record looks nice, but they edged the hapless New York Jets, all right? And then the other team, they beat the Texans with their third-string quarterback, all right?
And then they beat New Orleans
and with Jameis, despite his greatness, he just wasn't feeling good that day. So their three wins are all questionable. All right, Dallas is That's for real. Good. The defense isn't great in Dallas, but it's improved. And it's pretty good. It's okay. But offensively, they're going to show what that Carolina defense is made of, and it's going to be akin to paper mache. Because Thunder and Lightning, Zeke and Pollard are going to do their thing. And then Zach, you know, he's troubled through the air. So, Nick, I got the Cowboys.
Okay, hold on. You guys, I can't believe this segment turned on a, hey, let's just attack the Panthers' defense. The Panthers' defense is outstanding. Now, the Panthers' team is not as good as the 3-0 record indicates, but the Panthers have an outstanding defense, and I think now the J.C. Horn loss, the rookie who was playing great for them, that will resonate throughout the year. But I don't think the Panthers' defense is fugazi, as Broussard put it. Now, do I think they're a 3-0 team against a better schedule? I do not. Yeah, the 3-0 record. Okay, I wanted to make sure I understood. I also think the Cowboys are going to win, even though it does pain me a bit, because this is a massive, as Jenna alluded to, coaching mismatch. Matt Rhule is proving himself to be a very quality NFL coach, and Mike McCarthy, unfortunately, still remains Mike McCarthy. However, despite all that and despite the Cowboys' injuries, I do not think the Panthers are going to be able to move the football. I know Christian McCaffrey is too big of a loss for them. The Cowboys are playing too well. I really like the Cowboys in this spot. And by the way, if the Cowboys win this game, you look at their next half dozen or so, they have a great chance to be just about 7-2 when they head into Arrowhead on Fox here in a couple months. And so, because after this, Giants win, Patriots win, you get the bye, Vikings, Broncos, Falcons go 2-1 in that spot, and you're 7-2 going into Arrowhead. And so, I like the Cowboys in this spot, despite the injuries and the coaching mismatch, but that's not, yeah, I think Panthers' defense is legitimate. I think their offense is going to really struggle, Jenna.
All right, let's talk some Chiefs, Nick. Your Chiefs looking to snap out of a two-game skid. Yeah. Won't be a tall order. They got the 1-2 Eagles on the road. Nick's going to be in the building to see if his curly-haired quarterback can take care of business. Here was Patrick Mahomes yesterday on facing the pressure.
It's exciting. It's now you know you have to go. I mean, there's no kind of we're going to try to get through and try to find a way to the playoffs. Now we've put our back against the wall. So how are we going to respond? I think this is where you'll get the best out of everybody. You'll get the best out of every person in this locker room because you know that it's time to go now. Every game matters if you want to do what we want to do. And I'm excited to see how these guys respond, and myself included.
All right, Nick, what do you make of Mahomes saying the last place Chiefs backs against the wall in Philadelphia?
Well, he's 100% correct. While he is not personally under duress, as Broussard would have you believe, the team is. If they were to lose to Philly, then the season is bordering on disaster. So this is a must-win game for Kansas City. That is why I'm traveling to Philadelphia for it. Put eyes on the team myself. Try to, you know, see if I can figure out what has bedeviled them, even though we know just some fluky turnovers. Smart. But Wilds, I really hope you and America as a whole enjoy these next 10 days. Because I don't do this very often. But we're going to look into the old crystal ball, because 10 days from now, when the Chiefs have settled themselves by beating Philly, and then the Buffalo Bills come to Arrowhead and the Chiefs wax them like they did twice last year, you know what the narrative's going to be in 10 days on Monday? Remember when we were worried about the Chiefs? Oh, how silly we look now. So just enjoy, because the Chiefs will beat Philly. I think everyone believes that. And then we'll have another week of, well, yeah, they beat Philly, but can they beat the mighty fighting Josh Allen's? And then once they do, it will be back to where we should have been from the beginning of the year. So, yeah, I think it is a must win. They will win. And enjoy the next 10 days, because once the Chiefs win these next two, there will be no level of concern about them moving forward.
Okay, I do want you, since you'll be in the building, I do want you to keep your eyes on Tyreek Hill. Because after Tyreek Hill was shut down against Baltimore, you said, oh, there's no chance to have a big bounce back. And I was like, are you sure? Last two games, 11 targets, 8 catches, 70 yards, no touchdowns, no 20-yard receptions. So I know you've got a busy day. You're going to sample some local cheesesteaks and, you know, watch Andy Reid's return back to Philadelphia. I want you to take extra bring your binoculars. Keep your eye on Tyreek Hill and see why he's not performing like the superstar he's supposed to be.
Okay. South Street. Unlike Wild's ridiculous guarantee at the top of the show, I've got a good one for you. I guarantee Tyreek Hill scores a touchdown. I guarantee it, Broussard. And Wilds' stupid graphic will never be seen again. Oh, he only has 8 catches on 11 targets. They haven't been throwing him the ball. Like, 8 out of 11 is actually good. Like, 70 yards on 8, it's fine. It's like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but it's fine. Yeah, I understand. They haven't been throwing him the ball. They've been working it around elsewhere. Oh, he's been blanking.
Whatever.
But, go ahead, Broussard.
But look. Nick, I'm not worried about the Chiefs. So when they beat Buffalo, or if they beat Buffalo, don't come in my head. I'm not worried. I still got them later, you know, getting better later on and winning the Super Bowl. I haven't come off that pick. I'm just saying right now, they don't deserve to be at the top of anybody's tiers. But I got two bones to pick with you, Nick. I got two bones to pick with you.
Yeah.
Number one is this. If I said the exact same thing as Pat Mahomes, if I had said that yesterday, same thing, verbatim, you would have jumped all over me. I'm crazy. I'm foolish. Didn't you see the tears? They're number one. There's nothing to worry about. All of that. But Pat Mahomes says it and you go, he's exactly right. And my second bone to pick with you is you buried the lead, Nick. Mahomes is a fan of Under Duress. Mahomes watched the segment. It was so clear. It was clear as day from that quote that he was like, oh my, it was like a light bulb popped off in his head when he saw that he was the fifth guy under duress. Yeah. And he was like, you know what? He's right. Our backs are against the wall. What are we going to do? How are we going to show up? I can't wait to see it, myself included. He is a fan of under duress. Mahomes, I love you. I appreciate you, your viewership.
By the way.
And we like this, bro. We like
he
this.
He does watch the show. I don't know if he's a fan of your ridiculous segment, but that's also why I try to help you by correcting you, because he watches the show. His name is Patrick. Patrick Mahomes. Pat Mahomes is his father.
Hey,
he is Patrick Mahomes. Okay? Let's try to show the man some respect. Number one player in the league, 99
Patrick,
overall.
Patrick Mahomes is unbelievable.
If you're watching, Patrick,
and he admitted,
Sunday is our little guy Nick's birthday. Go do something for him.
Little guy.
Whether you think you can beat the Eagles or not, do a little
happy
something for Nick.
Me.
Make the guy
little
happy.
Guy.
He's
on
making a long
television.
Trip. Happy birthday
Thanks.
To you, buddy. The Appreciate little guy.
That. Take that along with the
All right, Ryan. Let's get back to our top story. Little Brady, little Belichick. The football world will be watching Sunday as Tom Trotz back into Foxborough. Will Belichick forever regret letting the GOAT QB get away? That's next. First things first.
We had a great relationship. I think everything was handled the right way. You know, we handled everything as gracefully as we could. It was an amazing, like I said, time, and it was handled perfectly. I think everyone understood, you know, where we're at, the people involved in the situation, and you know, things worked out for the best for all of us, and we're all trying to do the best we could do now.
Got a little Chris Broussard throat there going. Over the course of 20 years, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick created one of the greatest dynasties in sports, and then it ended. Just like that. Seth Wickersham did a deep dive on that incredible run in his new book, It's Better to Be Feared, The New England Patriots Dynasty and the Pursuit of Greatness. It'll be released nationally on October 12th, and Seth joins us now. Seth, good morning to you.
How are you guys doing?
We are good. Hey, it's great to have you with us. We have a lot we want to get to. So this book, I would imagine, years in the making. I would imagine there's a lot that nobody's heard yet, a lot that'll surprise us. What surprised you most as you did your interviews and your research putting this together?
Yeah, so I've worked at ESPN for 20 years, and basically my entire career there, the New England Patriots have been, you know, the most dominant team in professional sports. And so a lot of the book is just work that I've done over the years with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And then there was a lot of work in the past couple of years that was specifically for the book. And I think that what I was trying to get at was, you know, what are the essential ingredients that made these two men, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, so great at what they did? And then I tried to look at the cost of that greatness also. And, you know, I had a great time doing it. These are two fascinating subjects. It's going to be a great game on Sunday. And I really enjoyed the process.
All right, Seth, before I get to my question, I just want to say something to you and to the audience. You wrote a story about 3.5 years ago that could, you know, almost serve as the preamble to this book. And after you wrote it, you were kind of savagely attacked in some corners as just making stuff up, as not knowing what you were talking about. And you have been vindicated on a level that I can't remember a sports journalist being vindicated on by everything that's played out since then. And I don't think many of those people have said, hey, my bad for calling you a phony and fake news. So, you know, so congratulations to you on that. And I hope more people that attacked you for it say that, because they're all asking to interview you now. And I don't know if they're going back and saying, yeah, and I was wrong about all that. Now on the Brady Belichick breakup, we have heard Tom wanted more say. Tom wanted more weapons. Tom wanted to be loved more. I'm sure all that's true. But if Belichick would have changed nothing other than, yeah, you can have your contract extension till age 45. If everything would have remained the same, except they would have given him the contract he wanted, would Brady have ever left?
I think he would still be there. That's a great question. And I do think that you're right. I mean, there's all these ancillary types of reasons why he left. But at the end of the day, basically since that Super Bowl where they beat the Falcons, that unbelievable comeback, he has not only, you know, publicly stated over and over again his desire to play until he's 45, he's built a business around it. And if after that game, after these two men had won their fifth Super Bowl together and made history, if they had just signed him to a five-year deal right then, so much of this acrimony could have been averted. Because you're right, the contract has hovered over everything. It hovered over that, all the problems that they had in 2017 that I wrote about. And it definitely hovered over the team and Bill and Brady in August of 2019 when they were trying to negotiate a contract. And Brady considered leaving training camp in protest because he was so frustrated over how things were going. They ended up signing what was, you know, billed as a two-year deal, but it was technically a one-year deal with a raise that gave Brady an out to be a free agent. And anyone who thought that Tom Brady might remain a New England Patriot and retire a New England Patriot, you know, had those hopes severely tampered on when he and Giselle announced that they were putting their house up for sale, I think 48 hours after that contract was announced. And he said publicly he knew right then that this was going to be his last year in New England.
All right, Seth, you alluded to something there, pardon me, that I want to follow up on. You said building a business, and that is a big part of this. Like, it's Tom Brady's legacy in the NFL is going to be greatest quarterback ever. His legacy outside of the NFL might be, you know, essentially reversing aging, like what he's trying to build through TB12. There was a point in time where the Patriots were allowing that to happen in concert, where Guerrero had, you know, keys to the building, so to speak, maybe literally keys to the building. That then changed. Why did that change happen? What made Belichick turn on Guerrero and the access he was providing? Because it seemed like that was a major issue.
It was a major issue. And I think that the problem stemmed from the fact that the business that Tom Brady was building and that had an office, you know, across the street, basically, from Gillette Stadium, was at odds with a lot of the things that the New England Patriots doctors were doing. And so there was a lot of players who felt caught in the middle. Do we go to the place where the most powerful quarterback, the most powerful player on the team goes and, you know, buy into those methodologies? Do we listen to the team doctors? And it created a lot of problems. And so Bill Belichick felt the need to make very clear lines. I mean, he had made very clear that Alex Guerrero was not an employee of the New England Patriots. And so he put some restrictions on where Alex could be and where he could not be. And, you know, look at Tom Brady now as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. I mean, he's not only a quarterback, he's a virtual executive. And Alex Guerrero has an office in the building. And Alex Guerrero got a Super Bowl ring. It's hard to imagine that stuff happening in New England. And, you know, I think it just speaks to how open the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are to all of these methodologies that Brady has, you know, become evangelical about. And in New England, you know, clearly that stuff was never going to happen. It's Bill Belichick's team there. He's run it brilliantly. And I think there was limits to the influence that Tom Brady could have in that building in Foxborough.
Seth, was any of Belichick's desire, or if that's too strong of a word, willingness to move on from Tom Brady motivated by a desire to prove that he could win without Brady?
That's a great question. And I think that only he could answer that. And I'm not exactly sure how he would answer it. I think that, look, I think that over the years, he definitely had thoughts, and he expressed this to Coast people, you know, is the only quarterback I'm ever going to have Tom Brady in my New England Patriots career. He drafted a Super Bowl caliber replacement in Jimmy Garoppolo. Obviously, Brady was playing at such a high level that even though Bill probably wanted to switch to Jimmy at some point, he really couldn't do it. And especially with Robert Kraft's loyalty so tied to Brady. And, you know, now it's interesting. He's kind of getting a third chance. And it's a quarterback's game in the NFL. That's not news. And, you know, with Mac Jones, I think that he's striving for something that's inherently fleeting in the NFL, and that's sustained success. You know, he has so much pride in that team and in his work. There's a lot of head coaches like Bill Walsh. When he retired and he handed the team to George Seifert, he was kind of secretly hoping that team would flop, and instead they go 14-2 and win the Super Bowl. Bill Belichick has way too much pride to walk away from that team whenever he does, with it in bad shape. He wants it set up long term at the quarterback position so that, you know, I think that when he'd walk away, he'd have a legacy of not only winning Super Bowls, but always making decisions that he felt were in the best interest of the team.
Seth, one more question from me. Why? Oh, look, they've been together 20 years. They have more success than any other coach and player in NFL history. They were the two architects of it. And usually the quarterback is the extension of the coach on the field. Why didn't they develop this great relationship? I get it. You might have fights. You might have differences and disagreements. But you still, I would think, in that situation, would have a really great relationship. And why didn't that ever materialize between Brady and Belichick?
You know, successful quarterbacks and successful coaches are extremists within a spectacularly unhealthy profession, as we all know. These guys are extremists among the extremists. And I just think, like, that's only going to last for so long. And they're very different personalities. And, you know, I think Robert Kraft, for the most part, he did a masterful job of trying to keep the band together. That didn't mean it didn't come with managerial challenges at times. You know, in the book, I report about a 2018 meeting where he was in Aspen for a conference and he was down in the hotel talking to some friends and he goes, you know, I really hate to leave this conference. You leave some of the most brilliant minds, you know, you meet some of the most brilliant minds at this conference and I have to go to Detroit to be with the biggest effing a-hole in my life, my head coach. Only he didn't say effing and he didn't say a-hole. And, you know, I think that these are big personalities and very driven people and very smart people, and it's difficult. All that said, you know, we talk a lot about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and how different they are. They have a couple traits that are very similar, and I think that one of them is that although they come at it from different directions, they are both optimists, and they believe in the power and the potential of the next play and the next game better than anybody else. There's never been anybody in NFL history who's been so good at forgetting what just happened and focusing on the next thing. And I think that's one of the reasons why they've had so much success over the years.
Seth, I'm going to the game on Sunday, and obviously I'm interested in like what's happening on the field. I'm also very interested in the pregame. I'm interested in if Brady comes out and talks to Belichick, or do they give each other a handshake, a little pat on the shoulder? I'm fascinated by it. How do you think, looking forward, this plays out as they enter their post-NFL careers? And I'll give you an example. In the NFL, I think 100, when it was Bill Belichick and Ed Reed, there was so much affection, effusive praise, and real emotional connection for Belichick and Ed Reed, who never played for him. He just loved the guy, and you could see it pouring out of the screen. Now, Belichick and Brady have said nice things about each other, but it doesn't feel warm. It feels almost like, hey, here are the talking points when the person, when you bring up the other person's name. How do you think their relationship moves forward in 5-10 years?
Yeah, I think that there's always going to be a lot of love there, even if there isn't a lot of like all the time. And I think that it's going to be fascinating what happens. I heard someone say the other day that they think that, you know, Bill will come right up and give Brady a hug, and they'll do a video tribute, and they'll do all these things partially to kind of knock Tom off of his game. I thought that was an interesting little psychological ploy. Ooh. You know, when Peyton Manning as a Denver Bronco returned to Indianapolis, they did this big video tribute, and Peyton started crying during pregame warmups. And Tom Brady is probably going to be so focused and so ready to go and so amped up that doing something like that, hitting him softly, might actually give the Patriots a teeny bit of an edge.
Love it.
That's
love
it.
I'll be weeping.
I'm waiting for that answer.
As dialed in as Tom is, I feel like in a couple years we'll get the true story of what's really going through his head or what went through his head as he headed into Foxborough. Maybe Wilds was right this whole time. And maybe we'll see if the emotions will get the best of him. Seth, this was wonderful. Thank you so much. The book is called It's Better to Be Feared. It'll come out on October 12th. Go get your copies. Go order your copies. Seth Wickersham, thank you so much. Great having you here.
Great to see you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, great looking living room.
Thanks, Seth.
What a
congratulations,
backdrop.
Man!
Looking awesome.
Yeah, pretty good.
All right, we're going to
that's that Connecticut real
estate. Stick with Sunday's reunion. in Foxborough. Could an emotional return for Tom Brady lead to an upset for Belichick and the Patriots? We'll get to the football aspect of all this. First things first. Thank you, Seth. Back here with our quarterback, Mike Vick, whose only Sunday night plans include my only Sunday night plans. Patriots Bucks, the 20-year run in New England for Brady and Belichick. Over the course of those 20 years, 6 championships, 9 trips to the Super Bowl, 3,000 Subway commercials. Brady got asked how he'll manage his emotions come Sunday. Here's what he had to say.
I'm just going to try to do what I always do, go be a great quarterback. Obviously, understand the opponent, and I know all those guys. They're some of my great friends. They will be for the rest of my life. So I know a lot of coaches, players, the owners, the staff. It'll be great to see everyone after the game. But up until game, I'm focused on trying to go win a football game.
Mike, you're no stranger to emotional comebacks. You scored 2 touchdowns in your return to Atlanta back in 2009. How much will emotions, do you think, be a factor for Brady in his return to Foxborough?
There'll probably be some emotions in the beginning, probably on the bus ride over, just when he lands on Saturday and he go through his whole regime. But all the way up until kickoff, you know, he'll feel it. He'll feel the effects of playing at Gillette, playing in New England, and what that was like. But, you know, once that ball is kicked off, all that will go out the window. And I remember when I was playing in Philadelphia and we traveled to Atlanta, and, you know, it was an emotional bus ride over to the stadium. I think I cried. I seen all the fanfare. I seen all the tailgating, the I Love Vic signs and all that. And, you know, it's one thing when it's self-inflicted and things happen, but it's another thing when it's just a breakup when the time just expires on both sides and it comes to an end. And it's a mutual decision to walk away. Mine was a little different, so it's a different emotion, and I played like it. I played with a different emotion, especially when the ball was kicked off. It wasn't about proving that I was still a good quarterback. I was still one of the best in the league. It was just about going out and just having a good game and trying to put a blemish on their record. And so it did become personal, but at the end of the day, I think for Brady, you know, it won't be an emotional day where, you know, he shed a tear. I think he'll go in there, he'll try to win this game and try to get out of there with a win, but at the same time, respect everything that has happened in New England in the past.
Mike, someone on this set thinks that the emotions will be too much for Brady. And that, especially if Belichick maybe gives him a hug, we just heard on our last night, if Belichick gives him a hug before the game, that could just make Brady crumble and he doesn't play up to his ability. How much of a possibility do you think that actually is?
Absolutely zero possibility of that. They're coming off a loss against the Rams. So it won't matter at all. Look, these are 2 grown men. They understand what's at stake. They know, look, it's been a great ride, a great run in New England, but time has passed and they're both walking 2 different paths right now. So I expect, you know, look, a little emotion to be shown, a hug, a strong hug, great handshake, and then they off the business. That's what it's going to be about.
Okay. Well, first of all, there's going to be so much cheering and so many videos, and we're going to be throwing flowers onto the field like it's a hockey game, and, you know, with hats. It's going to be over the top. And Mike, you said you were crying on your way to Atlanta. Emmett Smith was said when he returned to Dallas, he was, this is a quote, sobbing like a baby. And he said he lost his like soul for the game when he was sitting in the Dallas visiting locker room. Peyton Manning, now this is the interesting one, Peyton Manning said he was glad the game was over. So not only, and you said it's going to be one thing for the game, but Peyton Manning's thing was interesting for this. He said it was an emotional week. He just said it like the time leading up to it was totally different, and that's why he was glad. So do you not, I know you don't necessarily believe Brady will be weeping on the field. I personally do, Mark Messier style at MSG. But do you think that the week of preparing has also taken a toll on him?
Yeah, no doubt, because the media, all your friends, family, they're going to constantly remind you of what you're going into or what you're about to get into like you don't know. But it's a situation where you kind of embrace it, too. And You think about all the good times. You think about the memories that you had and the things that you've created, you know, in New England. Tom Brady will always be able to go back to New England and be a Patriot, you know, at some point in his life. So, you know, this is not the end of the road for Tom. This is just an opportunity to go back and show the New England Patriots fans what they had and what they still missing out on. Not to rub it in or add fuel to the fire, but, you know, it is what it is. Tom's still playing some of his best football at 44, and they're going to get it all on display on Sunday night.
All right, Mike, thanks. It's great to get your perspective on that. We're going to take a turn and get Nick's perspective on picks. Here we go, Nick's picks. Oh. Nick, you got off to a pretty good start last week, 2-1.
That was hard to watch.
Wild.
That was hard to watch.
That's right, Jenna. Sorry, I got too excited. I was happy about Wild's failures and my successes. 2-1, that's a winning week. We'll take that every single week. Right. Lock of the week comes home for you because, of course, it does. Now let's go with the picks for week 4. Bills are 17-point favorites. What are they playing, a team from the MAC? Give me a break. Now listen, let me tell you something, America. Wait to bet this game. Some offshore shops already ticked up to 17.5. You're going to want that hook. So I'm going to give you Houston plus 17 with a little asterisk. We're really taking Houston plus 17.5. Fox bet, I'm sure. Money's still coming in on the Bills. They've had two dominating wins. Here's the problem for the Bills. Nick, you always pick against Buffalo. This is not me picking against Buffalo. It's me saying they're not going to win by 3 touchdowns. You know why? Number of reasons, but primarily this. The old look-ahead game. You're going to really be focused on the Texans when next week you have the Chiefs? No, you're not. Houston plus the 17 or 17.5. Mark it down. Next game. Baltimore minus 1. Listen, folks. Baltimore, they're playing a Broncos team whose victories have come over. Let's call them uninspiring competition. What do I mean by uninspiring? Well, they beat the Jets, the Giants, and the Jaguars, the three worst teams in the NFL. Oh, but Nick, Baltimore almost lost to Detroit. They needed a 66-yard field goal. That's true, but it's also not. You didn't watch that game, America. I know you didn't. I did. I was with Chris Broussard. We had 11 games on. You know what we saw? Hollywood Brown touchdown, drop the ball. Hollywood Brown touchdown, drop the ball. Right. Baltimore should have won that game by 17 points. If they did, they'd be 3.5-point favorites in this game. Ravens minus 1, lock, knock it down. Now, last one, lock of the week. Going back to the well, Atlanta, still undervalued, America. 1.5-point favorites at home. They're going to win by a field goal once again. I promised you Atlanta was going to win 3 in a row. Well, they've won 1 in a row. Lock of the week, we are going back to the well with Atlanta. Also, we're so hot right now, bonus teaser. These 5 teams are all 6.5 or 7-point favorites. Let me tell you, Saints, Titans, Chiefs, Packers, Bucks, 6-point teaser, 5-team teaser, pays plus 330 on your money. They all just have to win. Saints, Titans, Chiefs, Packers, Bucks, they all just have to win. If you want to dip your toes into the teaser waters, let me tell you something about the teaser waters. Oh, they're warm and delicious. But those, if you're more of a traditional bettor, Houston plus 17.5, Baltimore minus 1, and your lock of the week, undefeated on the season, we've only done it once, Atlanta plus a 1.5 plus 1.5, they're gonna win outright. There it is, Nick's picks. Let's go make some
fantastic
money, America.
Jenna, take love that. It all, take Blazing it to the bank, five. Except the Bucks Patriots. Switch Bucks Patriots, 100% right. Great job.
Thanks, Wilds. Appreciate it.
Nick's picks,
make
I wrote
some
it all
money.
Down.
Let's make
I'm
some
bet
money.
It. I'm gonna make some money. That's what I'm gonna do, finally. Back talking to Sixers, camp is open. Ben Simmons is not there. Is Joel Embiid right to be fed up with his co-star? Drama classes start short after the break. First things first.
Who will be the next superstars coming to network television? The WWE Draft on SmackDown, tonight at 8 Eastern on Fox.
Hey, how about that guy? Terry Bradshaw's putting another 100 grand on the line for NFL Week 4. Download the Fox Bet Super 6 app. Play along with us. Cardinals at Rams, one of the matchups. Nick, who wins and by how many points?
I'm going to go Rams by 4. I think the Rams win. I think the Rams are actually up by more than that final score indicates. I think a late touchdown make it look a little more reasonable. I like Rams by 4.
Yeah, that's a good pick, Nick. I'm with you. I got the Rams. I'm going to say by three. I think it's a good game, but I'm going to go Rams by three.
Okay, unfortunately, both wrong. It's going to be Cardinals by three, Jenna. Think about what Kyler Murray will thrive against. Oh, you're rushing me? I'm out of the pocket running around making things happen. He's been the most creative quarterback when things break down. So the fact that that pocket will collapse, Kyle will get out, start making some Kyler magic. Cardinals by three.
Jalen
plus
gets
they've
a
got
pick
Nick's favorite coach, Cliff Kingsbury.
There we go.
Here's what you got to do. Scan the QR code. Download the Fox Bet Super 6 app and predict six games for your chance to win some of Terry Bradshaw's money. As always, it's free to play. All right, moving on. Time now for Stories to Start Your Morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. And we're talking Patriots Bucks. The 20-year run in New England for Brady and Belichick, I'd say, went pretty well, right? They won it six times. They got there nine times. They did all those great commercials and probably had a fun time doing it. Brady got asked how he's going to manage his emotions come Sunday. Here's what he had to say.
I'm just going to try to do what I always do, go be a great quarterback. Obviously, understand the opponent, and I know all those guys. They're some of my great friends. They will be for the rest of my life. So I know a lot of coaches, players, the owners, the staff. It'll be great to see everyone after the game, but up until game, I'm focused on trying to go win a football game.
Sounds like Brady's been doing a lot of interviews this week. All right, Wilds, you will be at this game front and center, but maybe not so close. What are the chances Belichick and the Pats upset Brady and the Bucks?
No, for the record, the first tickets I bought weren't so close, so I upgraded my tickets, and your old buddy Kevin Wilds, a little bit of financial ruin. I've spent so much money on these tickets in Foxborough. Head over to SeatGeek.com if you want to buy the other tickets I got, please. Okay, there are four reasons that the Patriots will beat the Bucks, and it starts with Tom Brady, and yes, he has a cold, but you know what?
No.
Also probably weeping the entire week. Tom Brady is going to put the L in sentimental. Here are the four reasons. One, he's headed back to Foxborough. Oh, it's going to be a normal game. He wants to remain focused. It will be impossible when the crowd is cheering and weeping and booing maybe. Who knows how we're going to feel? It's going to be weird. Emmett Smith said he was sobbing in the Dallas locker room when he went back to Dallas. Peyton Manning said he was happy the game was over when he went back to Indy. Mike Vick said he was crying on the way to Atlanta. It is going to be an emotional game. No matter how well he handles pressure, you're still going to be crying. Hard to throw touchdowns through misty eyes. Reason number two, the Patriots passing defense. Guess what, guys? We're actually good. All those free agent acquisitions that we had are actually great. Wow, fourth, second, best, second. I know we played Zach Wilson, but we also played Broussard's MVP, Jameis Winston. The defense is good, and they're getting better. Reason number three, Mac Attack. Uh-oh, guess who's back? Yeah, it's the national champion, Mac Jones. I know it was college, but he's going to transfer it over. No one wants to believe this. It just happens to be the truth. The Bucs are the worst defense that Mac Jones has played so far. Didn't they play the Jets? Yeah, guess what? By the stats, the Jets have a better defense than the Bucs. They're giving up a ton of points. They're giving up a ton of yards. They're giving up a ton of yards per game. So, guys, Mac Jones is going to have the four-game bump. What's the four-game bump? Justin Herbert won his fourth game. Joe Burrow won his fourth game. Trevor Lawrence last night looked good. Got a loss, but it's his fourth game. Mac Jones has already got a win. This is his fourth game. We're going to expect the four-game bump. And finally, the GOAT versus the GOAT. We got two GOATs going at it. If you want to spend some more money after you buy my tickets, you can go over to julianedelman.com where he has put the T-shirts out. It says GOAT versus GOAT. One's in a hoodie, one's got a football. So I believe in this GOAT battle, Bill Belichick will have the edge, Broussard. Those are your four reasons. If you want to take out a reverse mortgage and spend some money on the Patriots, I suggest it. I would support it.
All right, Wilds, nice try. Nice try. Now, first of all, Tom Brady is not sick. It just so happens that high-achieving people every now and then get hoarse for some reason. They just get a hoarse voice. I don't know why, but it just happens, all right? And it clearly happened to Tom Brady. He'll be fine, though. Trust me, all right? And then I love your selective facts, if you will. You know, you throw out Emmitt Smith, who was old and washed when he went back to Dallas. Tom Brady, not old. He's old, but he's not washed. You throw out Peyton Manning, who wasn't as great in big games as Tom Brady has been. And then you throw out Michael Vick. Kinda. Oh, he was crying on the bus. But you left out the second part of the story. Michael Vick went there and had the best game of the season for him. He came off the bench and had two touchdowns. He was the old Michael Vick and then some in that game. So he used the emotions as fuel. And I think listening to Eric Mangini, who knows Tom Brady well, listening to Michael Vick and just my own intuitiveness, I think Tom Brady is going to use the emotion as fuel, Wilds. You're mistaken. You should know this better than anybody. No moment is too big for Tom Brady. This guy's won more Super Bowls than any other franchise in the NFL. No moment is too big. He will be great. Also, they're coming off a bad loss to the Rams. You know he and they, the Buccaneers, want to make up for that because they got a tough game coming up after this week. So they can't afford to lose. And so they're going to come out hardwired to wax your Patriots. And you can throw out all those little fake stats about the defense all you want. You mentioned Zach Wilson. You mentioned my man Jameis, who just wasn't feeling good that day. I told you that earlier. He wasn't feeling. He wasn't in his right mind. But he's despite his greatness. And then the other quarterback, Tua. So they haven't faced anybody who's a quarter of the quarterback that Tom Brady is. So, Brady, I'm predicting it. You predicted this win for the Patriots. I'm predicting Tom Brady, Nick, 350 or more yards, four touchdowns, in an absolute demolition of Bill Belichick and Wilds' New England Patriots. Wow.
Well, I do not think Brady's going to have that type of passing numbers because I think the Bucs are going to be in such firm control. They're going to be running the ball for the majority of the second half. However, let me talk to my buddy Kevin Wilds for a moment.
I'm here.
Because, first of all, I will indulge you for a moment on your optimism. Because I do know, because you and I are friends, despite how consistently mean you are to me on television, I do know that these tickets have caused a bit of a problem in your life. Most notably with your wonderful, amazing, award-winning wife. Let me tell you a lesson I learned at a very young age. Tickets to sporting events are free if you bet on the right team. So, Kevin Wilds, you do have an opportunity to put your money where your mouth is. The Patriots are plus 250. Let's say you spent $10,000 on these tickets, plus 250, put a little $4,000 on Fox Bet, and get your money back. You go for free, you get a nice little windfall, you buy the wonderful wife something nice. Just think about it. But here's the thing. Let me tell you something, America. Wilds isn't going to do that. Because while his heart is bleeding Patriot colors, his head knows. This is not a good team. This is not a good quarterback. And as of late, it hasn't been coached very well. Can we show the deciding play against
Stop
the Saints?
The
Something will
wow.
jump off the page
coaching?
At you. Well, I'm just curious. The deciding play against the Saints, you might say, oh my God, how did Taysom get in so easily? Did the Saints have an extra guy on the field? No. But it looks like, that's because the Patriots had 10 players. They spent, I'm not sure why they decided to go about it with 10 players, but it's going to be hard when it's 6-point game in the fourth quarter. Let's run 10 players out there. That's happening. Also, in the long term, Wilds, you watched last night. You think Mac Jones ever in his life going to be better than either of those two quarterbacks? In Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow. Oh, you do? Oh, he's going to be better than one of the two number one picks of the draft. Because if he's not going to be better than either of them, he's not going to be better than Mahomes, he's not going to be better than Herbert, he's not going to be better than Lamar, he's not going to be better than Josh Allen, he's not going to be better than Baker. That's seven. So the best case scenario for the guy you guys handpicked to take over for Brady is maybe one day he'll be the eighth best quarterback in his conference. And so it's tough, man. So what? You're not worried? You're not concerned? I'll let you have the floor to finish the week.
We're right, focused on Sunday. I'm not worried about 10 second. Years from now.
No, let us focus on Sunday. You will be at Foxborough. Nick's going to be in Philly watching the Chiefs beat the Eagles. That's what he says. What better way for you to celebrate your birthday than for us to wish you an early happy birthday, Nick?
No.
Sunday's your birthday.
The best way to celebrate my birthday.
Enjoy your time with all your favorite people.
Oh, Adele!
You and all your best friends. All your good friends.
What a graphic!
Just take it all in.
Oh, Phil, how are you?
Your BFF.
You sound like a hell of a party.
Adele, hey guys, that Adele's going to be a big star. Mark it down.
Happy birthday.
I just heard her.
Gentlemen,
she's
have
good.
A great weekend. That's we'll see you Monday.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.